Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios, Coral Springs, and now you know
we're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late,
now everybody.
Wake up late,
now everybody.
Wake up late,
now everybody. I said 1, 2, 3, everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hell yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. I'm here in Danger Studios on a Wednesday afternoon. This is a boner show. I said boner. Boner show. Because tonight's star performers for the Wise Guys comedy show at Tabellino della Notte is out of Tampa. This kid's funny. He's new. He's pissing off all the comics who've been doing it a lot longer. And he's crushing. Mr. Cam Bertrand.
Hey, man.
And our headliner tonight, Mr. From the Irish Comedy Tour, the Barbarian Comedian. Did I get that right, sir?
Barbarian? That's a name someone hung on me a long time ago. Right, the comedy, Tommy Cotter, the Comedy Barbarian. It stuck like glue.
Mike McCarthy, everybody. there's still tickets available tonight, 8:15 in Coral Springs, South Florida. It's about 20 minutes from anywhere in Florida, unless you're in the Keys. Bad subject. Anyway, it's bad time, you know.
I would think so. I said, my gig tomorrow got canceled. Somebody goes, yeah, the Keys got canceled.
Bro. Supposed to do Tommy's gig down there,
yeah,
right? That's a great fun, the bottle cap.
I don't please. Everybody I talk to about it is like, dude, you're going to believe I might. Look, hey.
I know.
It's canceled.
Yeah, it's a great Thursday night room. Yeah. They're going to reopen it, I'm sure.
Oh, no. They're still so psyched to open it, but yeah. You know, they just can't. It'll either be next week or the week after that. But Tommy called me a couple weeks ago. He goes, looking good. And then he called back a couple days ago, and he goes, not looking good.
Yeah,
I was supposed to go on a cruise, and the first stop was Key West, and they were like, ooh,
yeah,
we're going to take you to the Cayman Islands.
Oh, that's not a bad option. You get conch. Do you eat some conch chowder down there?
No. Dude, I was afraid to get off the boat, man. I thought I was going to get napped.
Cayman Islands, it's the conch capital of...
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know what conch is.
It's like a snail.
I thought you were playing with me.
It is.
I don't know that that's real.
And I had, when we were there, my wife and I went there before we were married, and I was banging other chicks. No, I'm like, and it's a disclosure. No, we went, and the conch chowder, never had better conch chowder in my life. So, you know, when you're in the islands, you gotta
eat
seafood.
I've had the fritters. I've never had the chowder.
Yeah?
I still have a weird feeling that this is not a real thing. And you guys beforehand were like, hey, we're going to tell him conch shells.
Sell it.
Yeah.
Sell it.
If we just tell him conch is amazing, he's going to go there and be like, can I get some conch? And they're going to feed me horse wiener.
Do you know Pat Zuax?
Uh-uh.
He's a Tampa guy, and he had that joke about I went down to Key West, and I said, yeah, I'd like to get some conch.
Yeah.
And she goes, it's conch, conch. And he goes, okay, I'm sorry, Bic.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, we're gonna get him to start saying I love conch.
I'm gonna get it on shirts.
That's right. He's gonna be auditioning for some TV show in LA, and it's like, we have you on video saying you like conch.
It's the I love conch guy.
Yeah, no, it's a delicious. It's like a snail, right? It's like a big sea snail kind of thing.
It looks nasty, but the fritters are pretty good. Well,
yeah.
I was pretty hammered down in Key West. I know you may find that shocking, but
I feel like. Delicious is subjective.
No, man. Do you like scallops?
Yeah.
I like scallops.
But
donuts over everything. You know what I mean? Donuts are killing conch. There's no way conch tastes better than a donut.
You're probably right about that.
Because a donut, you can eat at any time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You got to be in the mood for conch.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I couldn't just eat a conch. I'd have to eat like some sauce with conch.
I can't say it without giggling. That's why I'm not allowed to eat it. I can't be like, conch. I can't even order it at a restaurant. Yeah. They're going to be like, you can't have this.
You got some of that snail stuff.
Looking like you do. Some fucking senator is going to come over and ask offer you a page job. I heard you like conch, son.
Yeah, you can get all the conch you want from around.
That's right, and you'll be privileged. So, I mean, the storm is just crazy. We were talking about it, like, at the restaurant, you know, we were concerned because it's, you know, we had to cancel 2 weeks.
Yeah, it looks bad.
The week of it, like, we were the Wednesday before, there was, mm-hmm. like, we had time because the thing wasn't going to hit till Sunday, but there was comics coming in from Atlanta. I'm like, you know, 24 hours before, like, I'm sorry, it was the week after, but the people were coming in. Uncle Larry Reed was supposed to headline on the Wednesday before. And he's great. Chicago comedy legend, Uncle Larry.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And I couldn't wait to have him. And then they're like, eh. You know, everybody's freaking out about a Category 5 coming up our ass.
Well, so, serious stuff, dude.
Yeah.
I can tell. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I can tell just driving around the neighborhood. You guys still have crap everywhere.
You see our big tree in the front?
Yeah.
It was so funny. They said, the guy says, look, for $350, I'll just big ass tree. It was in the neighbor's yard, thank God. And they were like, $350, I'll chop it all apart and I'll take the stump away and even relay your sod for that big hole. I'm like, fuck yeah. And my wife's like, you what? You're not going to pay that much money? I'm not going to sit out there with a fucking chainsaw.
On that tree? Are you kidding me? The size of that thing? Yeah.
Yeah, start singing fucking jackal songs. Oh, man. See, that's the way. But my wife's handy. That's the thing. Like the pool pump. She's going to fix it. She's going to take the motor off the pool
please.
Pump.
Please. You're preaching. My wife, YouTube.
Yeah?
She thinks she can do anything. She wanted to do brakes.
Really?
She's not even a mechanic. She like anything. You just look it up on YouTube. I go, yeah, YouTube, a lot. Maybe it's good for this. Maybe it's good for that. To jailbreak a fire stick.
Yeah.
Very handy. Yeah. But installing brake pads on a Nissan Quest for a 150-pound woman.
Dude, if that was my wife, I'd be YouTubing like divorce papers.
Here's
a fucking YouTube channel you can watch, honey.
It's like, we don't need to go to the doctor. I can YouTube open heart surgery. I got you.
Yeah, no problem.
I've always wanted to do this. I don't think this is the time.
My wife always hates spending money, but I mean, she's that's what I'm saying. Listen, it comes to me. I'm handy. I pick up a phone. I call somebody to do it. Yeah, you know, I don't got time to sit out there and sweat.
I hear you, brother.
I'm going to spend $150 to go out there and sweat and change my shirt twice. Fuck that.
I hear you. That's
why you don't wear shirts, man.
That's right. That's why I fucking look like Bert Kreischer. Right? What's his name again? He's always
Bert Kreischer.
Kreischer. Yeah. Fucking guy. Never has a shirt. Now, listen, here's the thing.
You know, that is weird, dude. I worked with him at the improv. It's a little weird.
Yeah,
they go for it.
Well, it's him. I mean, that's something that's his. I mean, I can't go out there now and go, hey, he's a fucking hack.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do that. Even though I'm hot and I like to, like, all right, I have a look. I have like a dress shirt, nice dress shirt. And the fucking, you've seen me when it's now. And I look, you know, I try to, you know, fucking, actually, I sweat my balls off. I wasn't wearing that snapper.
Oh, dude, I sweat like dying on the phone.
That's the thing. You know, I mean, you're a comic. You know, and I went to this, you know, this booker said, you got to look better than everybody in the audience. So I said, I bought nice shirts. I got suede shoes, oxblood, and purple, and all. I'm fucking, you know, I'm the man. And I'm up there. But when it's hot as fuck, I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? So then I got a fucking Deadpool t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some t-shirts at a fucking Target for $12. I'm on stage. I feel like I'm free willing.
Oh, yeah?
It's like night and day.
Oh, there's no question. I just made the commitment myself. I mean, I used to just dress. I dressed okay.
Right.
Not bad. But then speaking to somebody, actually, Lemmy from Motorhead, before he passed away, he had said, you know, you want to be a rock and roll star, you should look like a fucking rock and roll star.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. I was hammered, and the combination of alcohol and eBay, all of a sudden I got some snakeskin boots and some red fiery dragon shirts. And the response from club owners and other people were like, dude, you look nice.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but you're right, though. I get hot as shit.
Yeah.
I get the collar and everything like that. I mean, that's why I always get the towel with me. And then, like, you say, you look over, and this guy just goes, you know, it's hot. I'm going to take my fucking shirt off. I'm 60 pounds overweight, but I'm hot. I'm taking my shirt off.
They love it.
They do. They're crazy for it.
I just dress comfy. I'm comfy, man.
But see, dude, you're a tall, young kid, thin.
I'm lucky.
You fucking wear a t-shirt and put a jacket like that. You
look nice.
It looks like me. I go on there. I look like a fucking weirdo hanging out at a bait shop.
But if I wear a suit, I look corny.
Yeah,
like everybody's like, we don't believe you.
A suit might be taken.
You look like you're like trying to get a job at the fucking
like it's your bar mitzvah. Is it your bar mitzvah? Why are you in a? How did you? Who let you buy a suit?
Is it prom?
Yeah, who bought
is
you
it
that
homecoming?
Suit?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You know what I mean when you think about it. But yeah, I know. Like on Friday, if I'm at a club, I feel really like I was at Kazi's this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah. And Friday night, you know, I wore my nice collar, front, you know, cuffs, you know, I look good and stuff, but fuck, I was hot. So Friday night or Saturday night, I said, I actually had the nice shirt on, getting ready to leave for the club. I'm like, you know what? I put on my AC/DC shirt. You know, now Jim Florentine's Jim's like, that's my fucking shirt.
I just love that you did the Jim voice.
Yeah, you're trying to sound like me, and now you're trying to look like me. What kind of rookie move is that? So You know what I mean? But I, dude, it was, it's a black shirt, so I look good in it.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm fat. Right?
Well, and I know.
And it feels good. It's like a blend. You know, it's like a cotton and like polyester mm-hmm. blend, so it's nice. It doesn't like cling all up and show your belly. Like, it's you know, and it's comfortable. You know, some girl in the back said ACD. She's like, I love the shirt.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's all I need. I'll wear it again.
Yeah, well, my only concern is, I worked over it in Fort Myers for Brian, Captain Brian.
Right.
Not the Captain Brian, the other Captain Brian.
Yeah, I just call him Brian.
Yeah. Well, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about Corey?
Yeah, I call Captain Brian Spina Captain Brian Spina from Off the Hook.
Yeah, he's the one. And then I found out Brian's a captain, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
I've never called him captain.
I didn't know.
Brian Corey.
I wouldn't call him captain. The other guy insists that you call him captain.
Yeah, he's kind of a little more, you know.
Yeah, he's like, my name's Brian, but you can call me captain. I'm like, we're not on a...
Yeah. He's like, you can call me captain. No, for real. Call me captain.
Call me captain. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we're in the kitchen.
I get
not
it.
The galley. Yeah. So you're just Brian.
We're in the parking lot, buddy.
But he said, I had driven down with my family last year, and we just got there, and I forgot my shirt at the hotel, like a nice shirt.
Right.
And I just wore a regular shirt. And I said, you know, normally I wear a collared shirt. And he goes, I really do prefer people, if they're going to headline my club, to wear a nice shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it is his club.
Right.
And, you know, whatever they... I always just keep one in the car. I always have one.
I would feel real uncomfortable. Like I felt kind of weird on Friday or Saturday when I was headlining with a T-shirt. You know what I mean?
But you're comfortable.
It wasn't a faded T-shirt.
It was a nice T-shirt. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, when I worked with Bert Kreischer at the...
it's a nice T-shirt.
At the improv, he was wearing... And I was dressing nice, and it was hot. And then I was like, this guy's not wearing a shirt. I went out the next day, I got a Guns N' Roses T-shirt.
Yeah,
a very nice one, an Appetite for Destruction.
Sure.
And I go,
great
album. Fuck it. If they're letting this guy go shirtless.
Shirtless, yeah.
I can probably skate by with a Guns N' Roses T-shirt. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then you get paid, and it's like 50% less. Well,
you're dressed like a bum on stage.
I feel like the majority of guys don't care. The ones who care really care. They're like, I would like if you dress nice. But the ones who don't care, they're like, just be funny.
Yeah, I think that's a little more important.
Just do the job.
That's the important. I think at clubs, like I caught shit for wearing a Bruins game jersey in Boston during the playoffs at a benefit.
That's a little different.
Right? Well,
you showed up with the attire of the sport.
You're pandering.
I wasn't at the game. It was a show
in the town.
But it was a benefit.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, you know, at a benefit, I expect you to look nice. And I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, well, dude, it's game seven.
Yeah.
And I'm a psychotic fan.
Yeah.
Like, really, I'm wearing this so they win.
Yeah.
This gig is secondary.
This is for us.
This gig, I'm one of those maniac, you know, have to wear the, some people take sports a little bit too serious.
Right,
have you seen like the 40-something-year-old dude that like paints his face?
He's
not even going to the game.
Yeah.
That's me. That's exactly who I am. I'm a maniac. You know what I mean?
You're a big sports fan. I was in a gig. We were talking about Miami, and I had my a Mortal Kombat T-shirt on. You know, it's a benefit on a Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and I had red shoes to match, nice leather, cool shoes. It was cool. It's nice. It's me. It's my attitude. And a young comic would be like, oh, who's your favorite character? And I knew, I could just tell by the fucking tone of the kid's voice, was like, this prick just thinks I bought this shirt.
Yeah.
Just to be cool.
Just to be fucking cool.
Just to be cool. All right.
And I sat there for a second, you know, like a poker face. I didn't sit there and, you know, just, I was sitting there, whatever, and talking with somebody else. And he goes, and he's looking at me like, I could tell the eagerness in him waiting to hear my answer.
What are you going
to
say? You don't even know anybody.
He doesn't know anybody. He probably never had a game in his life. And then I looked at him and said, Raiden, motherfucker.
Nah, man, you should have went wild card. You should have been like, Katana.
Yeah.
Like, he'd just been like, what?
Then he would have just thought I was a pervert. He's like, hey, he just likes her because she's a chick.
Hey, man.
Jerking off to her.
I wouldn't even be mad at you if that was the only reason. I
mean, well, who wouldn't?
She's earned that, all right?
I just think Raiden's the badass. If you can control electricity and shit. Raiden's
cool. Is it weird that I'm mad? I wasn't born when the movies came out.
Right.
And they're on Netflix. So I recently went and I watched the Mortal Kombat movies. Raiden's a white dude.
Yeah.
And I did not expect that at all. And I was like, he's an old Asian man to me.
Well, you know, sometimes you go to Benihana, they're really not Japanese. They're just
I know.
Mexican
and
guys
then I leave.
With eye makeup.
I came for authenticity.
I'm out. Sorry. You've killed the illusion.
Here's your sushi.
I don't want to see behind
you.
My sushi chef is named Frank.
Yeah,
not happening.
Your hibachi chef, his name is Carlos Topango.
Yeah. He doesn't drive a Ford. This is
he's got a Jesus sticker on his truck.
Yeah,
that's strange. You know, I had pulled up some things in comedy. Now, my concern was that, you know, we've seen some comedy rooms closing. You know, like my first thought to talk with you guys being comics is the state of comedy. You've been around. How long have you been doing this gig?
30 years.
Yeah. Now, how long are you in this, Cam?
4.
Little prick.
That's why I didn't even want to say it. I was like, just move on, man.
Now, I'm in my 10th year. Yeah. Which to me is great because I feel good. I feel comfortable. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, now I'm opening up a whole new level of, like, now that I know and I feel the performance part of it and all mm-hmm. that shit's pretty, you know, I'm like, oh, this is funny. I don't need to fucking write a joke. I just need to say this in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's like my wife used to say, she's like, you're funny. You just talk about shit. You're funny. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I'm like, well, so now I'm kind of finding that. So I'm excited about it. You know, and then you get a fucking little fucking kid like this.
Some people are just great at it right off the bat. You know what I mean? Some people that I was talking to my wife the other day and I said, no one is ever good their first time. And then I went, actually, you know what?
Yes.
I've seen a couple of bastards, a couple of people where I went like this. Oh, I guess you got this.
Yeah, but then some people you find out they did like they were a presenter for a company. You know what I mean?
All
of a sudden they had you know, it's like when you go to Dancing with the Stars. Like I never learned how to dance. Meanwhile, you see them on twirling
Disney,
a fucking baton and shit. You know, but the state of comedy, the world, like. All right, we know the 80s was the big boom, right? And then we kind of saw another kind of resurgence.
The 80s, man. I remember the 80s.
Yeah, listen to this kid.
They were so good.
Play-Doh. Yeah, it was awesome.
So, you know, like, and I'm concerned, like, you know, one of the agencies I work with, I sent him an email and then I said, hey, I was hoping to see if I could find dates in Carol, but whatever, around the area. Yeah, I'll try. And I went, I said, dude, am I that fucking bad? Or what's going on? You got to try. I said, no, it's just. It's hard. The room, like, we don't have as many rooms. Like, even our room tonight, you know, we're a little concerned because it's been light the last, the hurricane and stuff, we're a little concerned. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, so people are, and there's a local comic, John Hine, has an open mic at Holloway's, which is great. The owner decided to kibosh it. So, you know, I mean, you're out there, you know, you're out there. So this is a concern. And, you know, I have a philosophy. One of my first philosophy is there's a lot of pirate shows out there. Do you get a lot of them where you're at? Like, I know Tampa.
In Boston, it's starting to happen a lot. And I caught shit because I was on, you know, social media. And I put, if you're going to do Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday shows, I go, that's fine, whatever. But there are a lot of shows now where people are doing Friday and Saturday and they're not headliner shows. They don't have people on the show and doing it long enough. And you really only get one chance. It's astounding because we're in the business, but people that go, no, I've never seen a comedy show. I'm
right.
Like, how the fuck could you be 30 years old
and never gone
and
to a show?
Never have gone to a live comedy show. And, you know, I don't know if you ever pitched rooms. I never do. But when I moved to the town I'm in Massachusetts now, I went to a guy and I said, hey, you got the perfect setup here. I was going into this hotel to see my wife's sister and her brother. And we were getting together and they were talking about, you know, a surprise birthday party and the front room. It's just perfect.
Right.
And I said, hey, you ever think about doing comedy here? And he goes, oh, yeah, we tried that. And, you know, it was terrible.
Right.
I go, what do you mean terrible? Like people didn't show up? He goes, no, the comics sucked.
Yeah.
I go, really? He goes, it sucked. I go, how much did you pay? He goes, oh, we did it on Friday. We did it on Saturday nights for like 3 weeks in a row. I go, how much did you pay him? He goes, well, we had a $200 budget. I'm like,
what'd you expect?
What did you think you're going to get?
If you had to pay
$200,
you had to fucking pay a juggler for $200. What is he going to juggle? A rock?
Exactly. But that's the thing. These people that never see comedy, when they come out and they see shit,
right?
I'll just stay home.
I had this explained to me. New York Comedy Club was my home club here in Boca Raton when I started.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was eager like any comic, and I said, I would find a venue, and if we found a place, the Dubliner in Boca Raton, which has a stage, and they did music acts.
Mm-hmm.
So we put it together, and the club was fucking pissed. And I said, well, we're doing it on a Sunday. You don't have shows on Sunday. It's not like, but I, you know, at the time I was just eager for stage time. But as a business owner, you realized. They don't have control of the show. So if somebody goes to that show and sees a horrible show for some reason, they're going to think that's in a comedy show. And why am I going to go spend $15 to go with this fucking show? I saw the guy was on MTV, whatever, who gives a shit? I'm not going to. So it muddies the water.
Dude, I completely understand it, though. I get it. Like, if you go out to something and you paid a thing to see people who aren't ready,
right.
And then you're like, oh, this was terrible. I pay $10 a month for Netflix. I could watch dudes who crafted this hour for 10
exactly.
years. Like, you're spending more money to see people you've never heard of rather than see people who have killing. But if you see a good show, you want that moment of a good show.
It's like the equivalent if you had like a like a vaudeville show, like a variety show. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you went to a variety show that had the same as like a local one night, you know, local based comedy show, and the juggler went out and he started dropping shit.
Yeah.
And the guy who threw a knife actually threw it into the girl's head.
That would be pretty good. Might be a bad example right there.
You just sold me on that. Where was that at? I want to go to that.
That was great. We both looked at each other like, well, that would be good.
It's kind of nice.
They came up with a new night theme.
I get it, man. Like, I always liked violins, like, as an instrument. Like, I think it sounds good. And I saw a really good one live, and I was like, oh, I want to see more live violins.
Right.
I genuinely went out and saw people play violin.
But it's a big thing, and it's a problem. So, I mean, we've had that, and I can say it's like a two-edged sword, because at the same time, like, I've done that. Like, Tavolino's is that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I'm a professional. You know,
you bring in real comics. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
and I was always concerned about the quality of a show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you know, you laugh when you see a show that has a poster with 18 comics on it and says, and here's your headliner.
Yeah.
You're like, what is
and
this?
And I caught some static for putting that on there, just saying, you know, don't do it on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
Because there are these shows, and there's a lot of them, and I got people going, hey, listen, I need stage time, and I need this. And I'm like, look, I'm sorry, but the way you get stage time is some of the places up in Boston, you work the door, you do whatever, and you get 5 minutes at a real club on a Saturday night.
Now, let me ask you a question. You think all these one-nighters and all these, I call them pirate shows now, do you think that's just because it's just breeded, like there's a bunch of people that are saying they're comics? Mm-hmm. And,
it's because they can't get real work. So they create their own work, and they don't get better. They constantly just do their own show so that they're like, we're getting stage time,
telling
each
other, real. And they're telling each other how great they are.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I mean, I've done a couple of shows where I just went, wow. And I you know, I'll hear them afterwards on Facebook and whatever. Show was amazing.
Right.
This guy was, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
we
had that spell here. I mentioned his name. Fozzo was a local comic here. He got a bad rep because he'd say, so-and-so's crushing. And then you get an audio from somebody and you're like,
not crushing.
I don't hear quaffs of laughter.
Those dudes who go to the mic, so they go to the shows and they just do terrible, but then they hit the Facebook status and they're like, crushed it tonight.
Yeah.
New fans.
But it definitely affects it. And here's, you know, I don't know if you've seen it in your areas, but like you said, I've noticed it when I go to an open mic and I see certain people that have been doing it for a few years and an open mic, they're still doing the same material.
Yeah.
I'm like, but here's the thing. Eventually if they're not going to walk away, The only way this is going to be fixed is if the venues walk away, like you said, because at the cost of what? Like I almost feel like one of the owners of Tavolino said to me last week, he said, look, there's another, I just saw on Facebook, somebody's having a show over here and they're having a show, you know, people are comedied out almost. Like, they're not going to want to come to our show on a Wednesday where you actually have a valid act that are going to come up on stage. You know what I mean? So it's a challenge to the industry. It's the state of the comedy world.
There's no question, and it is happening everywhere. It's happening in Boston for sure, because the younger kids, and I understand what they're, you know, Boston's a tough market because the old the people don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
Like places like this or, Tampa or most of the people, when they get really good, they go to L.A. or they go to New York. Now, the people in Boston have gone out to L.A. and New York, and then they just come back, and they do use the same acts a lot in Boston. And the young kids go, when is it my chance?
Yeah.
When do I get to move up? And I understand what they're saying. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, we've had like 7 or 8 incredibly talented major headliners, you know, that aren't going to go anywhere. They decided, this is where I live and this is what I do. So I understand their frustration, but they're putting together these shows that just aren't good.
Yeah. And like when I was at Kazi's, it's the first time I've been there, and the owner was very happy. He's like, I love having, you know, the funny part is I had like eight or nine people say, hey, can you put in a good word? And I'm like, dude, I can't go up to the owner and go, hey, can I tell you about these? So I always feel bad. Now, I will say this, and I won't let you know who these people were, but there's one particular person that, you know, I said, hey, you know, this person emailed you, you know, and stuff, so you should, if you want fresh talent, this person would probably be a good, you know, bring in. And but we do that. Even then, I know it's almost like a Mormon. I may be giving up my seat to heaven.
Yep.
You know, in other words, all of a sudden you bring a bunch of fucking people in, and then you find out your buddies, you know. But listen, here's the thing. I'm an athlete. I've always been that kind of person that I got to be as good as I can. I'm not going to fucking whine and cry and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That means I got to step up my game.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? And if that's what it means in comedy for the business to survive, is that, you know, the Darwinian approach. You know what I mean? If you're doing comedy 30 fucking years and you're still doing the same act, maybe it's time to fucking move on.
Yeah, you're not competing. Yep. Yeah. You're complacent. You're lingering. Complacency kills more comics than anything.
Well, dude, great shows. Killer shows. Those people go home and go, that was amazing. Right. You got to come back to this place. Everybody was phenomenal. You know, when you get a really, really, really good show, that changes, especially the people that have never seen comedy. I've had people go, whoa, that was great on right. shows that I've been on where there were like three or four or five really, really great comics. They leave and they're like, I've never been to a comedy show before. That was so much better than watching it on TV. Yeah. It was live. Oh, yeah. It was this. We'll be back. You know, that's what we need. We need everybody to go out there and crush it.
So all right. So, do you think President Trump should hire a comedy czar?
I don't even.
You think the current administration should hire somebody to police the comedy shows?
Hey, man, he's more a comic than most comics. No right question. Now, exactly. Dude, he's killing.
I still can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Wouldn't that be great if he walked into an open mind and go, this thing sucks. Yeah. It's horrible. You're all fired.
You guys ever ride the subway? And he just starts killing.
Get on the Greyhound, fella.
Dude, he's one of those guys that would never write a bit, but just get up and just start crushing on some just ignorant stuff. And you're like, how?
Wow.
How is this working?
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Just nuts. Well, you know, listen, I hope, and, you know, I was talking to a comic recently, you know, Al Ernst.
I do.
Yeah, great guy, and he actually headlined last week at Tavolino's, and like he says, why don't you get on the ship? And I'm like, you know, I it's not about the money to me. I manage money for a living. Mm-hmm. I still got 60, you know, wealthy clients. I manage their assets mm-hmm. and then through retirement. So that's my comp. That's my living. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm blessed enough that I'm doing this solely for... You know, every time I book, like when I went to Kazi's, you know, I'm there for 2 days. All I cared about was that hour each night, 45 hour.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all. It was to me. The whole trip was those 2 hours.
Yep.
That's it. That's the only.
Dude, I just got offered cruises.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Like, yeah. That's not.
It used to have a real stigma attached to it, but not so much anymore.
It still has a cap. Like
I know a lot of people, but Boat Act or this or that or whatever. But now, from what I understand, I've never done cruises.
It's getting a different rap.
Now people are going, you know, it's great money.
Right.
And some of my buddies that I see on these cruises, they're like, I'm in Alaska. I'm in, you know, Nova mm-hmm. Scotia. I'm on the Cayman Islands. I'm here. And I'm like, I'm in Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Palatka.
And then they look like, you know, I know they're difficult because you have to have a clean act and then you have your right. adult act or whatever. But my wife wants me to get on. But those things, you do have to dress nice there.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
want you to wear the suit and all that other stuff. And I tried. Oh, man. Last year I tried. My wife was on me. She's like, look,
yeah.
we got to make a little bit more money. We're happy, but we need to make more money.
Did you ever think about hooking, hun?
We need more money.
Yeah, we need more money.
Well, the problem was when I was on stage, she was sitting down next to a friend of mine who was on cruises. And this fucking asshole was telling her how much money he was making on cruises. So I get off and she's like,
you need to do cruises.
Listen, I was just talking to him when you were on stage. I know they give you $200 and free egg rolls here, but we're gonna have to get something. Yeah. And I just because she pushed me, we've been together 20 years. She doesn't push very often. She's like,
you
gotta do an audition tape. And they put me in a 3-piece suit on stage, and I told jokes, dude. I looked like my nuts were in a vice from the beginning to the. I literally ripped off the jacket. I would say 25 minutes in, I took off the jacket, I took off the tie, I go, I can't, right into the camera, I go, honey, I can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
I just what can't
that's,
do
that's
this.
That's not what you got into this for.
Yeah.
Exactly. You didn't get into this.
Part of you is selling out to do it. Like, the money's great, the vacations are great, but it's a sellout, man.
You feel it. That's the thing.
You feel that.
And you're not supposed, that's the best thing about this business, all the traveling, all the bullshit, all the bounce checks, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The one thing you're supposed to feel good about is when you go on stage.
And
I've
real.
Never, and I've never, ever had that feeling that I had when I was on stage. I'll go, my friend's looking at me. We're at the hotel getting ready, and he's just looking at me, and he's going like this. He just can't believe his eyes.
Yeah.
He goes, you look, I can't. It's just, and I'm going, and the thing is, I go, I'm going to get in so much trouble if I don't try this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
By the way, what a dick, the guy who said that, like, talking about all the money things to your wife. By the way, keep him away from your wife, because his next conversation with wife is going to be how he lasts an hour in bed with his wife. Like, I don't know about you, but I last like an hour and a half with my wife. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He just, like I said, he let slip a couple things about how much money he was making, and she's like, And I love her, and she realized afterwards when she saw the video, I go, baby, listen, I've never
it's a different
asked you to, and that's the thing, like this trip, I've been doing a lot of the shows I've been doing up in Boston have been benefit shows.
Yeah.
And on those shows, you have to be a little bit cleaner and you have to dress nice, and especially when you know the crowd that you have. You know, if it's for a high school wrestling thing or whatever and stuff, you know, maybe some of the high school kids are going to be there. You got to tone it down.
Right.
And on this trip, I went, I'm doing one benefit. I'm doing a cancer benefit Saturday at the Straz Center with an incredible group of comics, but I know that there I'm going to dress nice and I'm going to be fairly clean or whatever because I don't want to offend anybody. But on this trip, I'm doing comedy clubs. You know what I mean? And
right.
I know I get to do
you get to relax, what
I get to do what I get to do with my life. Like at the improv, I can do what I want.
Yeah,
you know
just
what
hit
I mean?
That pocket. Just get to do nothing better.
Nothing better.
Take the gloves off.
I did that corporate event last week at the iHeart Studios for teachers and stuff with Mike Rivera, and we did that. And I was like building up to it, like, oh God, yeah, I got to worry about this and that. And then knowing I was going to Cosby's the next week, I'm like, oh, I can't wait.
There's nothing better than having a week of work at a real comedy club. Because especially if they do like Wednesday, Thursday, by the time that Friday second show rolls around, you're like, dude, I'm crushing it.
Yeah, you're just rolling out anything
I came here with, not, you know, that I've tooled around with on
it's
Wednesday,
crispy
I've turned around on Thursday. Yeah. Now I'm just going, and I love the Saturday. I hate the Sunday shows. It's more money.
Right.
But that Saturday late, if it's a place that has a good Saturday late show, you just get so sad going.
Yeah, having a Sunday show is like going bowling at 9 in the morning on a Thursday. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show here, and I'm here with comedians Mike McCarthy and Cam Bertrand, who you can see tonight Comedy Show at Tabellino's tonight. Just $10. Call 954-509-0046 to RSVP. Great food, full bar, and you get to see us. All right? And we'll probably all take a shirt. We'll take all our shirts off.
Yeah, you know, we want them to go to the show.
Yeah, no, we'll, you know. Anyway, hey, we'll be right back with the show and straight from the headlines right after this.
Hey, this is Bob Gullah with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Welcome back. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. That's what a comic does, right?
That's our
job. We were talking about that. There's too many comics on Facebook making political posts and not being funny.
Mm-hmm.
No one gives a fuck about what you know. Shut up.
Yeah.
Unless you're directing the United Nations or making decisions for the world, shut the fuck up.
Facebook is there for two things for me. One, to lose my mind over sports because my wife doesn't give a shit. My wife literally said to me at one point, if it talks about Tom Brady, it gets the hose again. Like, she's just sick and tired of me. And the, you know. But the other part of it is, for this job, you should be fucking funny. If you're going to be on Facebook, you should do stuff that, and that's what, you know, I like it when people see my post and they go, dude, you crack me up. You know, that every, I can always count on you to be like,
twist it around,
to be doofy, you know?
Hey, by the way, here you go. I'll give you something to work on.
Okay.
Here's our first story. Venezuela prepares for war with the U.S. with rifles, missiles, and well-oiled tanks at the ready.
No muskets.
No, that sounds like when your little brother's mad at you. He's like, I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna fuck him up. And you're like, shut up, Carl. Like, you shut up,
Carl.
Yeah, you just rub him on the head, give him a noogie.
President Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro promises he'll throw empty cans of tuna fish at their army. Yeah, he called on his nation's military
leaders.
Listen,
you put the weapons away or we stop letting you play baseball here. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. We was just joshing.
Hey, I'm sorry. You don't take things out of hand. Tuesday, prepare for war against the U.S. days after Trump administration banned the Venezuelan officials from entering the nation. Trump added a few other peoples like countries like Chad, Venezuela, and Cuba to the non-travel, whatever list. How dare you put us on that list?
Nobody puts Venezuela in the corner.
That's right. It's horrible here. Nobody has food. People shitting in the streets. It's a beautiful country. The Trump administration has taken a hard stance against Maduro's regime by banning money lending to Venezuelan government or its state oil companies. Well, if you're going to shut down a potential dictatorship, shut it down. Most people wouldn't understand that. So I think any president in this position would have done the same thing. Not that I'm backing the fucking doofus. I'm just telling you, it's pretty standard quo. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not worried about...
I'm terrified. Do we have bomb shelters? Is this like the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Dude, Venezuela's about to take off, bro.
That's right. We're going to throw empanadas at you.
This is going to be Red Dawn all over again. Right?
We're going to attack your country by coming in with food trucks. And we're going to kill you all. Yeah. You know, it's just posturing.
How do we get them to drink our water? How do we?
They think it's Mexico. They won't drink. We're not Mexican. We're Venezuelans. Pretty fucking bad, you know. It's shit. It's horrible there. It's a fucking, you know. I mean, you know. I had so many clients that came in especially in Weston. It's a big influx of Venezuelans there. A lot of people were leaving when Chavez was there, and they were taking their money, and Chavez controlled shit. You know, unless you had it for the government, if you grew corn or whatever the fuck it was, and the government owned the business and let you do it. But if all of a sudden they wanted to do something else, oh, that's gone. We're taking it all from you, and here's a fucking, you know, here's a red wagon you can carry your rest of your shit with. You know, it was horrible. You know, but these countries, I mean, fuck. Well, we tried to make that funny.
weird at the end there. It got real wet.
We kind of realized Dougie really knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, we're just
this is we're looking for the punchlines. This is serious shit.
We're trying to tag
Dougie knows what he's, Dougie knows what he's talking about. All I thought about was Venezuela. I was like, did anybody that's good at middle relief the Red Sox can use?
Then my Walter Cronkite came out. Now this was a funny story because I love when this shit happens. But I don't know if you saw it recently, another person got dragged off a plane. It was a Southwest airline, which
really?
I love.
And I'm trying I do. Yeah, I flew in today on Southwest.
I love Southwest, and I'm trying to get them as a sponsor, by the way. I love it. I love that. I get early bird. Every flight, I get an early bird. I'm in the A group. I sit wherever the fuck I want. I say, kiss my ass when you say, put the smaller package under the seat. Everything goes up there.
I'm the psychopath that sits there when the flight. I did it yesterday, too. My wife goes, when the flight leaves 24 hours before then, you got to sit there like a crazy person. And now, because everybody takes the early bird, I mean, I watched it. I watched thing go 7:54, 7:55. Bang! B2. Fuck!
Yeah.
Really? All A? All A is gone?
I know eventually this is going to go away. And again, like the Mormon seat to heaven, I'm probably fucking myself. But I get paid the $15. I get
the
early
bird.
I don't stress. I stand up there. Yeah, and you watch these dopey people walk around like, are you 22? Are you 23?
I did it today. Yeah. I did it today, and they all thought I had B2, and I was watching. I know you fly Southwest all the time. You know what's going to happen. It's the A's, then it's the families. Right. All right? So I'm not going to.
Wheelchairs and the children.
I'm trying to get that charge on my phone, so I'm not going to stand there like a cow, like a dumb sheep. You know, I go, I'm going to wait. There's a lot of kids. I want to see where they're going to sit so that I can choose. And I walk up to the line, and I made the mistake of saying, this is B, right? And they go, yeah. I pointed up the B thing. I go, it's B, wonder, whatever. And they go, yeah. So I just stood there right underneath the sign because I'm two. So I let one dude a little bit in front of me.
Yeah.
And people were not pleased.
They thought you were a cutter.
People wanted to see some.
And they'll come up to you and go, what's
your
number?
They did. The guy, he waited. I could see it out of the corner of my eye because I knew. you know what? I knew I had that pocket ace. I go, I know what this guy's thinking. I'm not gonna turn and go, by the way, I'm B2.
Yeah, you just turn it a little.
I'm just like, he goes, what number are you? And I go, I'm B2. Yeah. And he's
should've
just like,
should have okay. just hit him with the, is yeah. this D?
Is
and
this
then, and then they get all embarrassed. They're like, oh, I guess you're in the right spot.
Yeah, I'm in the right spot. One
Thanks
person. Oh, it wasn't even because, you know it was when it's B16 or something like that, then it gets a little mucky.
I've had that situation, and I was like in the top, within the first few, right? Mm-hmm. The first five, whatever. And I'm sitting there, and they're like, and the guy's looking at me, and because I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops and a fucking T-shirt, the guy's looking at me like I'm... And he comes up, he goes, what number are you, by the way? Just like that. And by the way, I go.
By the way?
Well, here, let me ask you a question. Do I appear like I'm a complete fucking idiot? And he goes, no, I go, well, I see. There it says 1 through 5. So let me ask you a question. Do you think I'm between 1 through 5? Or do you think I'm missing
I'm
my mother and I should be wearing a fucking helmet?
Then I'm an asshole.
I wish you'd have been bluffing. I wish you would have had 37. I wish you'd have just been like, do you think I don't have 1 through 5?
And he's C-55.
Just
like, my bad.
That'd be awesome if you said,
I misread my ticket.
I'm B5. Can I see that?
Let me check your stats, bitch. Show me your papers. But here's
somebody got hauled off, huh?
Yeah, a woman dragged off an L.A.-bound Southwest flight after telling crew she had life-threatening pet allergies.
Equality.
Because there was right? two. There was a person with a two people with service dogs on the flight. And we all know we're in a country now where it's all about me, me, me.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the thing. She's full of shit. You know? First of all, if you're in a if you have serious... You don't have a serious pet allergy.
I thought you said pen allergies.
No.
I'm going, what is this? I've never even heard of this.
Yeah,
what is she write with?
It's a scribe disease. if you have that. Now, I never met anybody in my fucking life. Now, I've known people that have been allergic to dogs. I've been allergic to dogs. I get itchy with certain cats.
Yep.
Okay. But if you have if you get stung by a bee, that's what I think. You die, right? That's what I'm thinking. Severe pet allergy. If you have something like that and you're about to get on a fucking plane, you would probably have the sense to find out before the flight if any pets were going to be on the flight.
Yes.
And you would also think you're responsible enough that if you did have such a condition, that you would probably have some sort of fucking documentation with you if you're going to travel on a flight. You know what I mean?
That there might be.
Right. So this woman claims that she had a food allergy, and everybody's nice. Said, "Look, if these we can't tell the dogs get the fuck off the plane. They have a right to be here."
But are they? Were they? All right. There's real service dogs, like blind people and stuff.
True.
And there's corny service dogs. They're like Chihuahuas. You just needed a companion.
Some fucking lady needs a Chihuahua because her husband left her for another dude.
Yeah.
She's all fucking like, I need a pet.
So, oh man.
Now, but here's the thing. Again, be responsible. No, I don't. I'm sick and tired of people expecting, like with everything about, and again, one way or the other, with police brutality, right? The shit exists. It does exist. There's always, in any profession, there's moments where a plumber fucks up, you know, or a dentist. It just fucking happens in every industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I forgot my fucking point, but I'm getting all riled up. But the thing is that, you know, Shit's gonna happen.
Everybody makes mistakes.
But you always got to be in a position.
Just tell her that if you die, you die. All right. Sometimes there's gonna be dogs, lady. Sometimes.
Did you see that? It was on Facebook last week. I guess that woman who freaked out because a vet had this big dog, a service dog, and it was a black woman. She was going nuts. Like, you that be? I'm not gonna be in. She was fucking losing it. You ever see that video?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it was horrible. Like, what an embarrassment to be. It's just people are so. So, I mean,
I can't just stop thinking of her walking towards her gate going, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. And she's like, fuck Chihuahua.
There were two dogs on the plane and a woman.
She just hits the ground.
Had asked they had been removed because she had a deadly allergy. Do you have documentation
deadly.
To prove that? No, I don't. I'm sorry. Well, you're fucked then.
Deadly.
Like, if you don't have the documentation to prove that illness.
Deadly.
And that dog has
going to die.
If that dog has one of those vests on, you know, that looks pretty certifiable, and you're saying, I'm not getting that dog's get the fuck. Well, the dog has the fucking vest.
The dog is the vest. You don't have the documentation.
You don't have your documents. Get the fuck off the plane.
Get you a vest and then come talk to us.
Now, here's what I think should happen. I think this woman, what should happen is, before the airline apologized, and of course, we apologize for dragging a stupid cunt off the plane. But what I would like to see is, let's check her medical records. And if this woman doesn't have that, can she? I would want her banned from fucking flights
for life. For Southwest.
You are just a lying, conniving, fucking want everything.
And in this day and age, like you said, everything's all about me, me,
how many
me,
people do you know that'll stretch the bullshit just because they want to make a point
Do you think she wanted to win that bad, though? She wanted the dogs off the plane that bad where she was like, I'll die. That's how bad she wanted dogs off the plane.
Some people get caught in a lie and they really won't give
it
up. Really won't give it up.
Die.
And you're like, die.
Die.
Die. Ma'am, you're not going to die.
She's just getting itchy eyes. I think it's starting.
Die.
I'm going to die.
Listen, your eyes might get puffy.
Listen.
There may be some itchy.
If I was on that plane, I would have fucking grabbed my Chihuahua and go,
just threw it at her. I could kill you right now, lady.
Bitch, get off the plane before I throw fucking chewy cheese off you.
This lady got mugged with a Sharpei.
The dog's just looking at her like, let me at her.
She died by Ruff Ruff.
I'll let her sniff me. I promise I'll take her out.
Oh, man. I mean, just get the fuck off the plane. That's everybody challenges. That's people are challenging authority because they know better. Everybody's
well, that's
so
the thing.
Righteous.
Everybody has to back down now. You can't, you know, you call them out and they got to go, okay, you're right. You're right. Nobody wants you to be upset. Nobody wants you to say, I think we weren't sensitive enough.
People need to learn that you can't get everything. Sometimes you go to Wendy's and they don't have chocolate frosty, okay?
Hey man, that's just the way it is.
She could have died, man.
Now, all right. Now, we all think things are going to shit. Russia, China, United States, North Korea, Venezuela is going to attack
Venezuela,
us with fucking,
for sure.
With Rocampollo.
I'm switching and, teams, dude.
Yeah.
I'm getting a Stalin jersey.
And by the way, everybody, if everybody in this country would settle the fuck down about North Korea, like, oh, they're going to bomb us. They can't even make a good car. Calm the fuck down.
I want to make Putin jerseys, dude.
Yeah.
Can we get like...
That'd be funny.
Can we get
like a fucking hammer and a sickle in the front?
Yeah. Just like a Bulls Putin jersey.
But speaking of Russia, Russia and the U.S. will work together to build a moon base. So you think everything's all fighting and stuff. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, let the world think what they think. But let's go up there and...
We're going to make a moon base.
Yes, we're going to make a moon base.
Comrade, we'll make moon base.
Yes.
Global warming.
Russian hookers.
All kinds of problems. We need a fort on the moon.
Yeah. Vodka distillery.
Why would they even go to the moon? What's there?
I mean, we're about to lose Earth.
Imagine if we all tried to leave Earth and land on the moon. That'd be talk about fucking not enough clubs to work.
just go hut to hut.
Yeah. Hey, who's going to work at the lunar hucklehead? Fuck, that guy won't leave. He's doing the same act.
How many clubs are called the crater? Come on, man. You can't just open another crater.
Yeah, this is Crater of Laughs.
Crater bin.
Yeah. I'm working at the Crater Stress Factory. Yeah. Well, yeah, I imagine it's like, I know China is trying to get on this. It is the modern day Rock of Gibraltar, which is where my family's from. That, you ever know where the Rock of Gibraltar is? It's on the southern tip of Spain. It's Prudential Insurance, the Rock.
Oh, yeah.
It's an English territory since the 1800s that they won from Spain. And it's been a British territory, but you can't pass through the Mediterranean without going by Gibraltar. It's a base and everything like that. So
Cam, Doug will drop some fucking science on
you. Yeah, man. I'm sitting here like, needed you to be my history teacher.
Like, boom. All of a sudden, you're like, wow.
I thought we were hitting jokes, Dougie's here's
like,
knowledge.
Look, I woke up late. I didn't wake up stupid, okay? I know what's going on.
You snuck knowledge in there, man.
Yeah, sometimes the early bird don't get the worm, but it gets a fucking turkey that's left over from the Renaissance Festival, bitch.
This is like Dora, like low-key. I'm just watching them like, oh, this is fun. Oh, did you just teach me something? 6 years from now, I'm going to go, I know about the Rock of Gibraltar.
That's the next time I see a Prudential commercial. I'm gonna go, you know, it's British territory.
That would be one of his famous documentaries. He'd be sitting there on fucking Jay Leno or fucking The Tonight Show. Is like, yeah, the Rock of Gibraltar. And fucking yeah. Like, yeah, I know where that is. It's a peninsula.
This funny. You're going to catch me slipping?
This young kid is not only funny, but he is knowledgeable.
Next thing you know, he gets a fucking part now in a movie because he knew that.
I'm just going to call Dougie and be like, I need more knowledge, man.
Dougie, these people are on to me.
Yeah. Dougie.
They think I know things.
I'll just tell him, Cam, just let me open for you everywhere. Fuck, I'll do whatever. I'll tutor you, bitch. I'm going to make him be like the next Dougie. But it's going to basically be a place where they can, you know, hide hookers.
Why would you hide hookers?
I know. Why hide
Dead
it?
That's hookers. Yeah, nobody hides live hookers.
Yeah. You want them to leave. What's that old joke? I don't pay a hooker for sex. I pay her to leave.
Yeah.
The fuck out of here. Here's our family and our social, our family structure is going to hell here. Mom tried to run over daughter's ex.
I'm mad she didn't succeed.
For exposing their affair to the cops. So get this.
What?
So you have a mom and daughter. And I'm appearing, I guess. The mom was banging the daughter's ex-boyfriend.
And he right? and he said, yo, I banged both them hoes.
Yeah.
Snitches get Tahoed. I just like that she got in the car and she was like, come here, Steve. Come here. Bring your snitching ass in.
You want to talk? Talk to my bumper, bitch.
I just love that she tried to hit it. Like, apparently she didn't make contact, so he weaved it.
A Florida woman allegedly tried to run over her daughter's ex-husband.
This is in Florida. Who saw that coming?
In a Mercedes-Benz after her affair with the man was exposed, police said. Kathleen Regina Davis, 58 years old, was cuffed by Palm Beach Gardens cops after they spotted her driving in circles in the front yard.
Are you sure she tried to ride him over or she's just an old Florida driver?
Yeah.
She have a directional
fair
on?
Enough,
or, you know?
She couldn't get out of that autopilot.
I didn't know Mercedes made golf carts. Is that what happened?
The wild ordeal unfolded after the woman tossed several eggs at the man's cars.
Okay.
And his
I like your style.
And his home.
I like your style.
It's a young move.
I'll key that shit. No.
I'm going to come back tomorrow and throw toilet paper all over your fucking grass.
It's Halloween every day.
They were like Irma eggs, too. She was like, they already went bad.
The man who said he was no longer with Davis's daughter told police Davis nearly hit him with her car several times, according to the police report. Davis, meanwhile, admitted to the cops that she had an affair with the unidentified man while he was with her daughter.
Several times? Why'd he stick around?
This guy was getting banged.
I'm trying to run me over once. I'm out.
I was hoping it was within the same altercation. Like, he's just trying to juke it for 15 minutes. He's just like, all right, she's turning left.
Can't get me.
If I go in these bushes, maybe.
This is the funny part. Davis told investigators that the man ruined her relationship with her daughter after he told her. In other words, this is how fucking psychotic. This woman is blaming him for ruining her relationship with her daughter after she was banging her daughter's boyfriend.
Oh, my daughter and I were really close up until I slept with you.
We had a lot in common.
You fucked it all up.
We had a lot in common. Both of our upper lips smell like your jizz. We were wondering why we felt so close.
That's specific aim, dude. That's good aim.
Thank you.
They're both going just for lip.
He's a fucking William Tell, this guy. Well, he's young. He could do that. Here's a story. Swingers party goes bad when jealous wife attacks husband with a minivan. See,
this a lot of that. Is this a trend?
I'm telling you, there's too much fucking going on.
Yeah, there's too much driving going on.
Have you ever
been? What happened to a
cleaver? Have you ever been in like a group sex thing, a swinger thing? You ever been in a threesome?
Not that. My wife who's on Facebook knows.
Yeah.
Just come out with the machetes. What'd
you say? Now, you're young. You ever been in a threesome yet?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I've also ruined one.
Yeah? How'd you do that?
Did you run anybody over afterwards?
They tried to run me over. It's a long story.
How'd you ruin it? You can ruin it if you got a big cock. Then everybody's like, who invited this guy?
This guy's a ringer.
Fuck this guy.
Who invited fucking the fireman?
We're just going to fuck each other. This is not, yeah.
Tell the guy to stand back. We'll play jump rope later. Swingers party goes bad when jealous wife attacks the husband with a minivan in Bay City, Missouri. A swingers party gone awry has led to a woman facing three felonies. Deputies arrived to see a red and maroon Dodge Caravan in front of a residence, and 28-year-old Amber K. Schumacher trying to enter the home of with a screwdriver in her hand. It wasn't
like
a drink.
I like they put the Amber K.
Amber K.
It's very important.
Not to be confused
with the other.
Put the other poor Amber Shoemaker, who's head of the PTA.
Who also has a Dodge Caravan, but is an upstanding citizen.
It's just a coincidence.
Who only sleeps with her daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Only if he's cute. Also outside was her 33-year-old husband, who was bleeding from the wound to his forehead.
Ooh.
26-year-old female resident who called 911 told deputies she and her 31-year-old fiancé had the Shoemakers over for a swingers party. You know, like oil up a fucking thing of, Twister? Mm-hmm. Oil Twister? According to the police, Amber Shoemaker was downstairs with the female resident's fiancé, and her husband was upstairs with the female resident. When the pair upstairs came down, Amber Shoemaker slapped her husband and went outside. Well, what the fuck is...
It's Swingers, baby. She might have been mad.
Did
she
you
wasn't
think we're
going to
watch the movie Swingers?
Yeah.
He said Swingers. I thought we were going to go outside and play in the park.
I thought I got to swing. You were to stay still.
That's a problem. If you're going to swing, right? You don't want to like go upstairs with the other guy's wife, and then the guy's banging your wife, and you get together, and you're like, and you come, and then waiting.
I'll meet you out front. I don't need to see what's happening down there, okay?
Yeah, the poor guy, he shoots his load in 5 minutes. Meanwhile, the other guy's still banging his wife for two and a half
you're
hours.
You're exactly
like,
right.
This is bullshit.
Can we get the fuck out of here, please?
He's like, she's great. And you're like, she was terrible.
My wife shaved for you, bitch.
You go for round two. No.
There's too many things you got to worry about when you swing. That's the problem. There's too many... You can't even get along on Facebook. You can get along naked in front of people, looking at each other's junk. Now you're a baseball fan too.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously like the Red Sox, mm-hmm. your team. I'm a Yankee. You know, I've been a New York Yankee fan since I was born. Sign stealing 101. You hear about the story?
Apple Watch.
Sign stealing 101 gets a fan ejected from Yankee Stadium. Now, I thought this was pretty cool. There's a guy. Who's pretty good? He strategically put himself on a certain side of in the fucking stands where mm-hmm. he can see into the visitor's dugout,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know if he's home dugout. Must have been, who knows? Tuesday night for the fan to be ejected from Yankee Stadium for yelling out information on the pitch location to the Yankees' Gary Sanchez. While he was hitting in the eighth inning, his team's 6-1 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. Eh, fucked your team up.
How are you going to... I don't know. You gonna believe that guy? He could be lucky to be a Tampa Bay fan.
Well, they know it must have been set up.
He's like, dude, it's a curveball. All of a sudden, the high cheese comes at your melon. You're like, what the fuck? Oh, sorry, dude. Fuck you.
See,
but I mean, you only get him once, right? I don't listen to that guy. What's one pitch out of a game?
The effort appeared to involve Red Sox personal gleaning information about catcher's signals off video feeds of the game's rapidly getting that information to the dugout via the watch, the iWatch.
Yeah, they went through all this. Actually, you know, when you really time it out, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
For them to see it on TV.
Let you know. You give it to somebody else,
and then somebody...
Well, that's like in football when they're sitting there with covering their mouth, because some people are trying to read people's lips of the play.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be sitting there as the defense coordinator going, blitz!
But you know what else? If they call a play and then you see what that play is, now you know what that play is. So if you hear him go, Dolphin, Dolphin again, then you're like, oh, well, that's...
Well, let me ask you a question. I played baseball in Cory League in Bantam and Adam. You know, mm-hmm. I played soccer all my life, professionally and collegiately. But, you know, when the pitcher goes to the mound or the catcher goes to the mound, don't they usually say, okay, one doesn't mean fastball, it means curve? Don't they usually change things up on a regular basis? I would think.
You would think like every inning. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You just go, dude, this inning.
Yeah.
This means every odd inning. Yeah, we get it. By the way, we get every half inning to sit next to each other in the dugout and go, hey, listen.
Let's switch this up.
One is now a curveball.
That's a lot to remember, though. If you switch that up 9 times in a game, you go, dude, I thought 3 was this.
Yeah, then you start fucking up. There's too much information.
Yeah. That's the problem. You might be right.
Here's some important news I didn't know if you guys knew about. New species of giant rat discovered. It's so big, it can crack a coconut with its teeth.
Whoa.
They're on to me.
Yeah. I better hide my balls.
Abort mission. Crack a coconut. What are we in? The Princess Bride? The Forest of
fucking Alice in Wonderland.
Which one of these rats got a magic lamp?
Well, there's one guy with coconut juice going, open it up, rat. A new species of giant rat has been discovered, which is so strong it can crack open coconuts with its teeth. Imagine what it could do with his ass. Measuring 1.5 feet long. And weighing more than a kilo, which is about 2 pounds, it is 5 times bigger than your average rodent and a little shorter than Joe Pesci. The elusive creature lives in 30-feet trees in Bangula in the Solomon Islands. Well, I guess we don't have to worry about it. It had only ever been spotted by natives, leading to the suspicions it is a mythical creature. Like the, what's that Mexican one? The cucaracha? What's his name?
Chupacabra.
The chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
It's like a, what the fuck it is.
Well, the rats, that's from that movie, The Princess Bride. The rats of inordinate size.
Yeah?
Yeah, you guys haven't seen it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the, they go into this forest. It's a little kid's movie. And they go into the forest. It's Carrie Elwes and...
that's what they said.
Robin Wright. That's probably about 20, 25 years old.
Yeah, they said the researchers likened it to the scene from The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
When the characters debate the existence of the rhesus, the rodents of unusual size,
to
be beset by enormous rats.
And they were, if you didn't see the movie, this is 25 years ago, the worst special effects in the entire world. It's obviously a stuffed animal that somebody has got some chopsticks like this, and they're running it towards them. They're like,
Isn't that crazy when you do see some of these older movies? And
my kids can't cope. My kids can't cope. They go, really?
Yeah. You believe this shit?
It's hard.
It's like even when I watch Bruce Lee movies now, I'm like,
yeah.
Compared to some of the choreography you see, like obviously like The Matrix, to
but
me, some
of
the fight scenes.
Respect Bruce though. Oh, he's not hitting anybody, but you're like, this is beautiful.
No, dude, listen. I had 3 older brothers. I've been in martial arts since I'm 5 because of Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm water.
Yeah.
Be water, my friend.
I love them all except for Game of Death because the switches. Brutal.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah,
I like
the
scenes where it's him, but the switches, you're like,
what's the dude with just the
you're like, dude, who is buying this? Well, that's how big he was because, you know, over there they were like, we don't give a fuck. And one scene they get a black guy that's Bruce Lee for a second, you're like, dude, come on. Yeah. But I mean, I love every movie, but that one, again, I tried to watch it with my son. He's like, it's not even the same dude. I'm like,
hey, why is he wearing sunglasses at midnight? Big ass sunglasses. Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank my guest today, Mr. Mike McCarthy.
Thanks.
And
thanks
Cam, for having me, Cam Bertrand.
Come on out to Tavolino's
tonight. Tavolino's. Wise Guys Comedy Show. It's just $10.
Best chicken cutlet you ever had in your entire life.
Oh, my God, dude. Let me tell you. You guys, you've never been there. Beautiful place. Great and listen, come out tonight or fuck it. You know, you're going to have to start going bowling on the week because comedy's going to be gone. Okay? So support your comedy. Come out tonight. It's just $10. Call 954-509-0046 Facebook Live. But those of you listening to the podcast, this was yesterday, so make your plans for next week. And we'll do that. We'll do it again. What else is coming up, buddy?
Let's see. I'm leaving here. Tomorrow night I'll be at Coconuts on St. Pete Beach for one show. Saturday I'll be at the Straz Center in Tampa for a Crack Up Cancer Benefit. And Sunday I'll be at the Improv. Wednesday I will be back at the Improv. I'm headlining the Improv, and then Thursday, I'm going to the New England Patriots game. And nice. Friday and Saturday, you can catch me at Coconuts on the Beach one more time.
That's you, Cam.
This Sunday, my last going-away show at Side Spinners Comedy Club. And it starts at 7 o'clock. And then after that, I'm going to L.A. And I'll be gone forever.
Woo! That's right. Good luck to you, buddy. You're going to do well. And when you do make it, just remember that I taught you about Gibraltar.
under British rule.
Other than that, I'm going to be local this week. But I'm going to be at Dr. Grin's. October 5th through the 7th in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Looking forward to that.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Had a good time. They were open for Donnell Rollins once.
Drink the Oberon. They have it on tap.
Yeah.
They give it to you for free.
I'll do that. And then the week off, I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to be at Broadway Comedy Club, Gotham, Greenwich Village, and New York Comedy Club, and Dangerfields, of course. I'm going to be there two or three nights.
Sweet.
Those shows. Go to Dougie Almeida for more dates. Follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. Follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Join our fan page on Facebook, The Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Aside from that, we'll be back next week right here at the same spot. God bless. Take care.
Nice.
People
on
earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There being a light hit the ground.